What is this foolishness?
How many dreams can you shape in a minute, an hour?
The kind of clean you like best.
Lost three of my teeth, too. All right, so you lost. Next time you win.
Steamy, hot, hearty, delicious, invigorating.
Hey, everybody, folks at home, this is Saturday. We got a brand new Ike Live, and this is our Christmas special. Listen to me. If you're watching right now, thank you for tuning in. We got a good show for you tonight. We have an amazing show for you tonight. I want to be the first to tell you, if you didn't watch it on social media, Uncle Larry guys are in the house tonight. So excited to have these guys in studio. Yes! It's going to be a great show. All right, let me intro the room real quick. Starting to my right, the one and only Dean of Bash University Peakless. How you doing tonight, Pete?
Doing good. Doing
happy
good.
Holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. We had a Christmas party.
We did.
And a lot of fun last night.
Very successful.
Can't wait to talk to this guy, man. We haven't seen him forever.
Yes.
He helped us start this show.
Oh, dude. This really honestly feels like a homecoming, a reunion. Especially not just to have you, but to have all three of you guys in here. So stoked, man. And I always said this, Pete, you know, having guests in studio is way better. It's way better. It's cool talking to you guys on the internet machine, but this is nice.
No, this is like a real full circle moment. The only thing that's kind of bothering me is I'm not on the IM board right now with Brian barking orders at me.
Well, there's a rumor that in the third segment we might have a special appearance by you on the IMs. Is that true?
Oh, man, it might be, but the problem with that is I really never knew what I was doing. So I don't know how that'll go, but I'm excited for it.
You remember the look? Like, I'll never forget the look, like, when things would go south, which was every minute of the show.
Yeah.
And Brian and Eric would look at each other, like, because nobody knew what the frick to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because something wasn't working right.
Something was not working, and we had it through glass. So in the old studio, there was a pane of glass that Pete and I would look through.
Yeah.
And we would look back there, and you just see looks of confusion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, it was like that Spider-Man meme when the two Spider-Mans are pointing.
Oh,
each other.
Yeah.
No one knows what to do.
Yeah.
Dude.
Dave was protected from it because he had his back to him.
Right.
But you and I would have to carry conversation.
Knowing the show was messed up.
Are we even live? are we even having a show?
We didn't know. Yeah, we never knew half the time. But it's funny, all these years later, we're still here. So I don't know how that works. Let me finish intro in the room. Johnny, so good to have you.
Dude, you too, man.
I'm so glad. Like, so this is amazing to have you here. We were trout fishing the last time we spent any real time together.
Yeah.
So this is warmer in here.
Warmer in here. And last time I saw you, I was grinding from New York City. Fun fact, too, when that day we were going trout fishing, I call Eric like 7 in the morning. I'm like, dude, my car got impounded. Got impounded. I'm like, I'm going to miss this. And I'm running all over Brooklyn. Someone somehow like moved my car somewhere legally. They towed it away, put it somewhere else, got the boot off. I was booking it like 1:20. I'm like, I can't miss this day out with Ike. Dude, it was cool. It was cool fishing with you, seeing you on TV, but like fishing with you in that like local environment, trout environment.
It was epic.
It was an awesome day.
It was epic because it was Jersey trout fishing.
It really
and
was.
It was one of the things we all grew up doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to be back in that environment.
And that spot where we ended up finishing the day, the craziest thing was the first day Eric and I ever went trout fishing, we were guided by one of our local friends, Kurt Hofig, who, shout out Kurt, he's a guide up in the Finger Lakes now. Best guide out there for sure. Kurt showed us that spot years ago, and that was the first time we ever got into trout fishing. And then we ended the day with you
there.
Honestly didn't even know that that's where we were in the state. So it was just
crazy.
Full circle moment. It was
crazy.
Cool.
A lot of full circle stuff going
on
tonight. We're going to talk
this
more
really
about
feels
that.
Like a full circle moment
does.
Right here.
It does. It does. And here's a great thing. Brian DeCarpenter, we have a new seating area set up today for Kai and Power Bait Paul.
We got bleachers.
This is the bleachers section. This is a new segment on Like Lives, folks.
Yes.
The bleachers segment. Guys, how you doing? Kai, so stoked to have you in studio here with us.
Yeah, I got no words, man. This is
Kai, move that microphone closer.
Eat that mic.
I'm trying to keep Power Bait Paul in here.
All right, just try it again.
Yeah, this is amazing, man.
Dude, it's so great. So great to have you in studio. It's awesome.
I appreciate it.
It's awesome. Paul, it's good to have you. Answering IMs tonight, we're digging deep, and we've got Dave Brodzik, a.k.a. Fathead, a.k.a. Worf, in the house answering IMs for us tonight. Dave, how you doing?
Excellent.
Now, listen to me. We love Jake. Jake's great for us. We love Jake, and Jake's our IM guy. Not here tonight, but put IMs through tonight. I want you to put a lot through, because if you're watching right now, this gives you motivation. We want to hear from you.
That's right.
Please. Send your comments, your questions, anything. If it's stupid, send it through.
Yes.
If Dave puts it through, we're going to send you an MTB Mystery Tackle Box.
Wait. Yeah. Hold on.
Hold on a second.
We put them all
That's
through.
Ridiculous.
Look at that cabinet over there. They all got to go. This is the Christmas special.
Yeah, I heard different orders. What we're going to do. Hold on. Let me mute your microphone. What we're actually going to do is we're going to send one person like 12 months worth of Mr. Tackle Boxes.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But
and,
comment anyway.
And Peter, do you have the bag?
No. Power Bay Paul, hook me up over there.
All right. And we have some other guests. What
are we doing? In addition to the 12 months of Mystery Tackle Box content that, we may have.
Thanks, buddy.
Ran through a little bit, but
that's right.
We also have this new Peter
custom custom
colors.
Missile Bait D-bomb colors, crafted by our own BTC.
Oh, Brian DeCombe!
Yes,
wow.
He's got a bait.
Looks amazing. Like you made it.
This is a color only available at Tackle Direct.
Wow!
Right now,
what's it called, Peter?
Exclusive.
What's it called, Pete? Give me a color name.
It's Rusty Craw.
Rusty Craw. Okay.
Now, Brian, you put it. Describe this bait because it's really cool. It's a green pumpkin, brown tomato. Describe
tomato.
How you put it
tomato.
Together.
Did you just say tomato?
I did.
See, I would have just like said red. That's why, Pete. That's why you do what you do.
And dude, it's a tomato. It's tomato.
It
look
is
at that.
Tomato. It
look
is
at
that.
Tomato in there.
Yeah.
It's a rotten tomato.
I don't know. Google a rusty craw, which is an invasive crawfish species that's taken over the universe.
You think that's tomato?
I don't know. It doesn't look tomato to me.
That's
tomato.
That looks like barbecue sauce.
It does. It looks like Sweet Baby Ray's.
Come on, man.
I would have called an exact sauce.
What's barbecue without a little tomato?
I might have just called it skid. I don't know if I would have called it tomato, dude.
Skid.
It's a dope color.
It is
green pumpkin
color.
One side,
really
like
sweet.
A more like brown pumpkin on the other,
yeah.
And then it's got a red like bloodline through it.
Okay. It's wow. It's pretty sick color. And we're giving those away tonight as well.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
One bait every hour.
Sounds good. And last but not least, producing the show, Brian Carpenter. It's great to have you.
Thank you
for coming in tonight and
making
all this stuff work. We want to thank our sponsors real quick.
Yes,
you know, these
of course.
Guys make it happen. So shout out to the Ike Foundation, Tackle Warehouse. 12 days of savings still going on. Head over to Tackle Warehouse and 10% off everything.
Ike Foundation sponsors us now?
Yeah, they do.
So they're going to send some trout.
They're going to send
us some trout.
Dude, we need fish in South Jersey. Bam.
I know.
Paul, it's brutal here.
You imagine if they became trout eaters out there, bro?
Dude. Dude, maybe we'll have to do a little stocking.
Brent Ayler had some enlightened me a little bit about the trout stocking and the giant swim bait craze in California, which has tailed off.
It has.
Because they've eliminated trout stocking.
What?
Why did they
do that?
Sounds like a very California
thing. Trout are an invasive species. And
so are we.
Well, the governmental agencies in California have opted out of continuing
under
any trout
Satan's
stocking.
Direction. Yes.
So all those
ridiculous.
Glory days of the giant trout, geared swim baits. It's a thing of the past.
Wow.
I heard weighted trebles though are a good replacement.
They are, yeah, especially if we're bending fish.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they get them good. Also brought to you by Founders Beer. And tonight you're going to see a hodgepodge of different founders going around the room. I'm in love with this one, Pete. You saw me drinking it last night at the party. The All Day Haze. I like this one. It's like an All Day IPA, but a little bit hazier.
Haze.
A little bit lighter.
Do we still
like
have
lighter.
Them? We have them in the fridge?
We do. We have about a half dozen in there. About a dozen in there. So
really?
We're going to be drinking Founders all night. If you're interested in finding Founders Beer near you, go to founders.com or download the Founders app. put in your zip code, and you can find out where it's at, right near where you live. That's kind of a cool feature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just type
it
in. Oh, yeah. Find out where the founder's at.
The future.
Get it. Yeah, it is. And last but not least, Pete, talk to me about this one. Mr. Tacklebox, it's the holidays. A lot of people watching and listening right now are still saying, oh, shit, I'm panicking. I only got a few days left to get something.
What a gift.
Dude, this is a great gift. Because you can just give the subscription card. You can print it out and say, here's your gift. It's a subscription. Yep. Dude, this is a great Christmas gift.
And it comes every month, right? So you're giving this gift to somebody every single month. They get this cool surprise. If you're a fish head like us, it's awesome. You just get out to that mailbox. I have to wrestle Jake for mine, but we always wrestle over it. But it's so cool. You open it up, all these baits that you know you haven't seen before, colors you haven't seen before.
Super cool,
it's
man.
A, it's a really really cool gift, and it's a gift that you can give last minute right now. If you got a fisherman,
right,
you got a fish, and we talk about this. You always get us the wrong stuff. We don't want the Billy Bass.
We don't want the socks
on the wall.
We got
enough socks. Yeah. We got everything that has a fish on it.
Yeah.
This is something that every single fisherman will want.
Give us some baits.
Baits.
Come on.
Cool baits.
Well, lures. And here's the good news, Pete. If you go on there right now and use the promo code IkeLive, 30% off.
Oh, 30?
Their first elite box.
Nice.
Or 50% off the first pro box.
That's half off.
That's half.
50
That's half off, eh? All right, so if you're watching, go do that. By the way, we're going to open up a box in the third segment. We are the only live fishing podcast that opens a box live, so we're going to be doing that later. Real quick, before we get the show started, I want to give a thank you to our military men and women, active veterans. Thank you guys for what you do. It's a freaking crazy world. This world's insane right now. It's
Mike,
nuts, so thank you.
I got to tell you something. I want to, because we always thank the emergency responders.
Yes.
And we had an incident at the Glusek house. Mom and dad. Mom had to get rushed to the hospital. Her heart rate went down into the 30s, 30 beats per minute, 40. 60 is on the low side. So she got, we had a little, turned out to be a medication thing, which we got worked out. Here's the amazing thing. I want to give a big shout out to the Franklin Township Police Department, because one of the police officers, my dad is elderly, and he was very upset, somewhat confused about what was taking place.
Yeah.
Now I got woke up. It takes me an hour to get to my mom's house, and that police officer sat with my father for an hour.
Oh, that's awesome.
Until I got there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's amazing work. Thank you guys. Thanks for everything you do.
Yeah. Dude, it's amazing. I could never do any of that stuff. EMT, police, military, I couldn't do it. I don't have the stamina to do that stuff. So those guys are great. Dude, this is a great show. We are going to have Byron Carpenter. Becky will stop in a little later. We're going to talk about some of the cool stuff the Ike Foundation's doing. But I want to get the show started. I don't even want to wait.
Get in there.
Let's get into meat.
I want to get right into it. I want to get right into it.
Right into it. What you got for me?
I want to start. I want to go right for the heart.
Yeah.
This has come full circle. So this has come full circle. This is interesting, and I want to reiterate this. If you're a true hardcore Ike Live fan, you know the story. But how the hell did we meet? Tell the story how we met, because this is kind of cool. You were going to JMU, which is a school that Becky went to, graduated from. Then you ended up back here, and then somehow we hooked up. Before I even really knew you, we ended up in a boat together fishing a tournament.
Dude, it's funny because, you know, there's certain events in your life that really, if they happen to you, you're never the same since, right? And how all of this happened, I would really put in that category. I don't think people fully understand. Like, I was going to JMU for film. I had no inclination or real desire to get back into the fishing stuff, which I'd kind of put down because I'm like, okay, I got to get a normal job. I got to do this. I got to do that, because that's what everyone in my high school did. You know, it was like just the norm.
Fall in the line.
And then
the norm.
There was this one specific moment that I just had an epiphany in my dorm room, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I got a tracker back home.
Yep.
I got connections in the fishing world back home. This is what I love to do. This is what I'm about. So that was when I made the decision to send a random email out to a random fishing YouTuber by the name of One Rod, One Reel Fishing, Mike Sal. I got to give a shout out to him.
Yeah.
Because
shout out to Mike.
If it wasn't for Mike, none of this would have happened, because we ended up fishing together. I ended up getting contacted through that video by someone that went to Rowan University, the school that you graduated from.
Yep.
And that person, John Horvat, told me that you had just went to the school. You were talking about, you know, wanting to get a bass team at Rowan.
Yeah.
So here I am thinking, man, you know, I don't really want to go through the whole process of transferring, but this really might be a special opportunity to actually get involved in the college fishing scene and do it back in a place that I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
So this was the moment where it really hit me that this shit isn't normal, because it's now August, you know. I'm a king procrastinator. Yeah. That's just part of my nature sometimes. And we hadn't picked a place to live yet. And John's like, yo, dude, we start school in like 2 weeks. We kind of got to find somewhere to live. Yeah. And I'm like, ah, man, just, you know, first place you find, I'm in. I don't care. Yeah. I literally didn't care. And he pulls up this random little blue house in Glassboro. And I'm like, done deal, man. We move
blue
in.
Blue house.
We move in there. Yeah, it's a off shade of blue, too. Not like a nice blue, like an uninviting blue. Yeah. You know? And
hospital blue.
You know, we move into this inhospitable blue. Then, lo and behold, 2 months later, our other roommate, Dan, comes home one day. And keep in mind, Dan didn't fish at all.
Yeah.
And he comes home. He's like, yeah, so our neighbor just, like, stopped me when I was walking home. He's like, yo, who's this motherfucker with the tracker? Because I started bringing my tracker down.
Yeah.
So, lo and behold, I moved next door to Mr. Brian.
Wow.
My first name for him in my phone was Brian the Neighbor Carpenter Stockel.
Is that right?
It still is to this day. It still is to this day.
The neighbor.
Moved next door to him.
That's crazy.
Completely by chance. So then, you know, I'm getting to know Brian a little bit.
It?
We're starting the rowan fishing team together, John and I. He was the president. I was the vice president.
Yeah.
And then the unthinkable happens. I get a direct message from this guy. Right here.
What? Just out of the blue that?
Out of the blue. He responded to I think he commented on one of my 2-pounders, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, on my stud, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, look at this one.
And Jersey Giant.
Comments on it, and I'm like, oh, my God, my heart stopped. Because, listen, Mike, you got to understand something. And this is – so I run into a lot of people that aren't really involved in this fishing stuff.
Yeah.
And I try to explain to them, you know, who you are to us. And the best way I could describe it is you're growing up in the New England area – and you want to be a quarterback, and it's 2005.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Wow.
Like, that's really who you were to us and are.
That's crazy.
So
yeah.
For you to message me like that, man,
I was Tom Brady, I wouldn't have fucked up the Giselle thing, though. I'm just
you keep that on the wraps. Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Or lose all your money in crypto.
Right. Or lose all my money in crypto.
'05 was Brady?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy? But anyway.
But it was Bledsoe before him, right?
Yeah, it was in like 01, though.
01.
Oh, yeah. He's been going for 20 years. But anyway.
That's who Brady replaced was Bledsoe.
So Brady hits me up, right? I'm like, I'm having a heart attack. And then Brady tells me, yo, you trying to go throw a football on the field? A.K.A., do you want to go fish a winter league out the tracker?
Like, that was the great thing. That's the thing I remember, because I wanted to fish with you. And I'm like, yeah, I want to fish with this kid, Eric. And I jumped in your boat. We didn't take my boat.
Oh, man.
I grabbed some rods in the backpack, and I jumped in with Eric. And I kind of let Eric do his thing. And it was interesting because you were doing a lot of things I wouldn't have done, but I appreciated
What's
it.
What's that? Talk to people during the tournament?
Talk people during the tournament. Throwing an inline spinner, which, Paul,
did he?
We know that's a secret deal.
Oh, that's dope.
But at the time, you know, it was different stuff. But I thought it was really cool. And it was really it felt right for me to get in your boat at that point.
Yeah.
It felt really right.
You know,
I wanted
crazy?
To do it that
You know
way.
What really was crazy, though? Like, of course, before meeting you, it was like, holy shit. You know, like, what's happening? But the second you stepped on my boat,
oh yeah,
it was just like I was fishing with Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
It was no different.
Yeah.
It really was just
That's
like an
cool.
instant kind of
that is a
mesh
cool thing.
Of vibes.
That's a cool thing about fishing.
Did you compare Ike to Johnny?
No, but
I did.
Yeah, but would you agree with that, Pete? We've talked about that before. The fishing community, there is a very natural connection. You know, like we're
Absolutely.
Putting the boat with co-anglers all the time and delivering seminars to – but fish heads gel. Mm. Like, you know, even the first time we fished together, we did that little trout trip.
Yeah.
It was like instant, like, you just felt the bond of fish heads getting together. I love that about the sport.
I haven't felt anything in life as strong as the connection when you meet another fisherman.
Oh, yeah.
It's really that moment where you're like, oh, you get it.
Yeah.
You get that thing that I get.
It's special. You don't have that in other sports, I don't think.
But I get that, and you felt comfortable, but come on. Ike's in the back of the boat. is my motor gonna work? I got college kid
50,
batteries
50.
Back there
50, 50.
That are 5 years old.
12 volts. Oh yeah, 12 volts.
Oh God, I hope my floorboards hold up. You know, it's gotta be going through your head.
There's no way Eric was thinking about any of that.
He's just rolling with it.
No, man. We used to charge his batteries with Christmas lights in my front yard. My mom refused to let him park the boat in the driveway. We're going to leave early, so we parked it on the streets. So we'd string Christmas lights all the way down.
Oh, my God.
Nothing false about that.
That's so good.
Mike, what struck you? Like, why did you DM Eric? Like, you're like, hey, man, I want to fish a tournament with you.
I mean, I think, you know, it's like
Brian the Carpenter.
Maybe Brian the Carpenter, but it's the thing like with Paul. I think when you meet somebody or you see somebody from afar, you could tell pretty, like I can. I can see through, you know, I know pretty quick, you know, and you can draw those instant connections. And I think it was like that with Eric and I. Cool. With Eric and everybody in our group, you know? It was a pretty instant connection.
Yeah, Eric connects with a lot of people. I want to credit you for that. I mean, you're an easy guy to know. You know, you're big smile. Yeah. Easy. But you know what's funny? Because we're talking about this tracker, and all these memories come back with you fishing with Brian, all these disastrous stories. And
sounds about right, yeah. Motors catching on fire.
Yeah. Oh, it all came back. I forgot about all that stuff. Yeah. It's all come back to me.
Me too, trust me. I tried to,
Yeah, but what you said is I honestly do believe, you know, we've mentioned it probably no less than 1,000 times on the show, that meant to be, like, you know, that thing where you say something's like destined to happen. However you want to look at it, you know, you can look at it religiously or philosophically or whatever, however you want to look at it. But I believe in that shit.
How can you explain it otherwise?
I believe in that shit.
I have no other way of explaining it to people. Like, there is quite literally a 0% chance that I move next door to Brian. And that's it's a coincidence.
Yeah. All
right. Coincidence don't exist.
Yeah.
Synchronicities.
A cosmic coincidence.
Yeah. And it is nice. You did adopt Brian as your second father.
He's my second legitimate father.
Your second legitimate.
Not even illegitimate. Legitimate.
Right. Legitimate father.
Correct.
That's
which
right.
Is nice.
Yep.
Brian, did you anticipate having another child, a third child?
I probably, yeah.
You know what was the line too? It was like, I'm the child that you deserve.
Yes. Yo, this is the dude that said that.
because
I got two really, really outstanding kids, and it makes no sense. You know what I mean?
I specifically said, Eric is the son you've always earned.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm glad.
Hold on. We got a good one.
What do you got, Dave?
Let me get it because I can't. My glasses are going.
Getting old as hell, guys.
Anthony, guys, I thought there were two chicks in for tonight's show. very disappointed to listen to hyped millennials.
Guys is a savage, dude.
Oh, my God. That is so good.
Guys, get me your address. You're getting some
D-bombs. That's what I mean. Let's just give shit away. We can give anything. Give Becky's plates away. Give it all away. Just find stuff and send it to people.
Yeah. How about these ruffled grouse?
That's Uncle Don stuff. Give Uncle Don stuff away. All right. So I'm glad you went back over there. Because I know, like I said, our hardcore fans know the story. But there's people watching tonight that didn't know that story. But there's a lot of people tonight that don't know the story.
Correct.
Of how you three guys met.
Yes.
And I want to hear that. Johnny, give it to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you talk about things going full circle.
Yeah.
Like you said, because I believe in what you believe in with that.
Big time.
And not to like fanboy here on the show, but it is still like got to shout out how crazy this is for me because – before I even had caught a one-pounder, I was in Eric's basement at like 8, 9, 10 years old watching your show. Is it City Limits? Is that the name?
Yeah.
Dude, and my whole thing with fishing is like I was never like a bass tournament guy. My whole thing is like I like fishing because it's a medium for me to go out and explore the world.
Yeah.
And I thought the concept of that show was so cool growing up in New Jersey in like an urban community, a more urban environment. And seeing what you were able to see and explore in a place where, like, it's almost hidden gems and just going around the country, that was so inspiring to us.
It was awesome show. I loved it.
And so that's how, I mean, Eric and I, we went from kindergarten on together, and I was, like, a baseball guy. I'd never even really fished, and we would just get out when we can. It started with that, and I kind of played out my baseball career, and I was in New York City working, and we had always gone fishing on the tracker, had a good time, and eventually, it just turned into something where we wanted to kind of take it a step further. I had looked into what Eric was doing with the filming stuff. I'm like, dude, like, let's try and just, you know, let's see if we can, like, meet people, make connections, use the social media stuff to our advantage. So we started this Uncle Larry Outdoors page and just kind of worked through it with that. And next thing you knew, like, something about what we were doing was just resonating with people.
Yeah.
It might not have been, like, the biggest reach, but it's something about the message where people were really connecting with us and inviting us to do cooler and cooler things and just opening up doors for us.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, like, we're learning about brown trout fishing an hour away, steelhead and up in Niagara, and all of these just things that are within reach that we had never tried before. But I was living in Manhattan trying to start this, working for Ernst & Young and all these, like, big corporate companies and,
yeah,
like, big hours and stuff. So I really only had, like, you know, Friday night through Sunday afternoon to get this stuff done,
yeah,
running Uncle Larry Outdoors. So, I mean, we were doing stuff early on. Like, I would have a holiday Christmas party, big, like, suit and tie event, and I'm walking in with a duffel bag and three rods and all my gear, getting smacked at the holiday party at some, like, five-star Hilton thing. And then next thing you know, I'm like, I got to bounce 11:30, take the train to Summit. Eric's meeting me there. We drive to Niagara.
Straight through. 6 hours.
Fishing. -6 degrees, 2 days, skunked. Drive back.
Definitely skunked.
Skunked.
Wow.
Every time. And then I'm out, and then I just drive, like, get back Monday morning straight to work. And like, that's how Uncle Larry Outdoors is really starting for a long time.
Yeah. You think the early days of Uncle Larry's, you got to think of an image of Johnny walking through the streets of Manhattan, disheveled, skunked, wet, cold, with a fishing rod.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sticking out like a sore thumb.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just,
I was on the subway with wet waiters more times than you can imagine.
Oh, it's so great.
That's the one beautiful thing about New York, though, is, like, I was, like, easily the 100th craziest person I've ever caught. Like, didn't even stand out. But then Kai met Eric. I mean, I think Eric's probably the better one to introduce how, like, Kai started out. But long story short, you should probably tell this story.
Yeah, I think
we got to chime in with Kai here.
Yeah, I think it was the pandemic. And where was I fishing? Speedwell Lake?
Yeah, a lake that I grew up fishing. This is like Alway or, you know, Alcyon. How do you pronounce that one?
Alcyon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Pandemic and, like, everything's getting crazy. And, like, I was doing I was working for this solar company doing inspections. So I had to, like, get in people's attic and on their roof and stuff. And people were getting real weird about, you know, letting people in their house during this time. So all my jobs had canceled for this day. And I used to keep rods in my work van, and I just Googled, like, the nearest body of water to wherever I was, like, in my jobs, and pulled up the Speedwell Lake. And I'm out there throwing, like, a crankbait or something, like, because the place looked kind of good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of wood, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get dialed, and this guy comes up to me with, like, his girl, and he's like, yo, man, what's up? You, like, you know what you're doing out here. I'm like, yeah, I guess we get to talking and whatnot. And he's like, yo, you should follow my son's fishing page on Instagram. And at first, I'm like, this old age. Trying to get me to follow his 7-year-old son's fishing page or something.
Yeah.
And I go, I look it up. I'm like, oh, they're doing some cool stuff. And I follow him. And I think later that week, I had realized, I'm like, yo, this kid looks familiar. I was watching Eric's pickerel video on YouTube the week before.
Whoa.
And then I run into his dad, and his dad's like, yo.
Dude,
and mind you, listen.
You should link up with my son and fish.
Whoa.
No, the craziest part to me about that, too, is, and I'm sure my dad would admit this, my dad's not the type of dude to just walk up to random people like that and be like, hey, you know what you're doing.
There was
Johnny
something
can
there going on.
Man, it was just, listen, you could believe in coincidences if you want, or you could believe in divine intervention.
Yeah.
And there was definitely a little bit of that going on when you talk about the origins of Uncle Larry Outdoors.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, because here's the thing I want to say. So I didn't know this story. This is the first time I'm hearing it, Kai.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watched the videos of you guys, it feels like you guys have known each other and fished together since you were like 5 years old. That's how it feels when you watch it. So hearing this is crazy.
That's what they say all the time.
Because I just feel – I just assumed you guys knew each other since you were, like, that big.
Oh, yeah. People can't even believe that we
haven't
known each
other. That's how it felt, man. Like, I think you guys hit me up randomly. They were going – Johnny was up in Long Island. They were doing the Long Island stuff. And it hit me up randomly after, you know, conversing on IG. And we're like, yo, we're like, come send it with us up in Long Island.
Was Orient the first time?
It was Orient. And we went out there, and like you said, it was just like we all just
very,
like,
natural.
Very natural. It's like we knew each other already.
Yeah.
You know, we just happened to get out there.
And what's different than that, and then what we're talking about when me and you fish that tournament together, you know? It's just this common bond of fishing.
Common
like
bond.
I said, I've never found anything else in life that connects people in that way.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Here's the cool thing, and Brian and Dave, I want to call you out on this. This connection we had at a very early age, and it's funny. Like, when I look back, I look at pictures of us when we're young fishing.
we have this energy and glow these guys still have right now. You can see it. But now looking at you guys, man, you look. We all look washed up now. We're like tired,
like
dirty,
melted candle wax. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like slumped.
Yeah, but
all
inside
over the table.
We still feel like this. We just don't exude it.
It's like when you were in high school and you walked by like a principal's meeting. You know what I mean? You looked in there, they just were like looked dead all over. You know what I mean? Like the ties are half undone. Like that's us now, dude.
I definitely saw Johnny in a principal meeting or two. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I feel like it's one of those things, though, that you talk about. You kind of do know each other almost on a deeper level. Is there somebody, especially the way we're fishing, like, I feel like when you're doing trips like this that really take a lot of years of experience and a lot of, like, honestly, like, balls and effort to go, you know, whether early on.
A lot of
on,
trespassing.
Theoretically, yeah. You might be trespassing. Yeah.
I do. That's how we grew up fishing. Like, let's be
big
real.
Time.
When you're doing stuff like that, it's like you know someone on a soul deep level when you meet them. Like, yo, you do that too? It's like, okay, yeah. All right. We've both been in the trenches. So, yeah. Like, yes. It's almost like you're like, you know, you're both doing that same thing. And I feel like I know people when I fish with them the first time who are able to do that stuff with us and they're able to keep their cool and they're able to find some success on the water. I know them better than people that I've spent time with from the time I was 4 years old, but we're just bullshitting and then conversing about nothing. Like when we're out there grinding like that and going through it together, that's like you said, like you really do know someone on that level.
Yeah
you know, it's funny. I saw an Instagram post recently. Someone was doing like the 12 days of what makes someone a successful fisherman.
Yeah.
And the one that I saw
not going to work. And going fishing.
Put in the hours. That was me from 22 to 25. Anyway, it was keeping a small circle.
Right.
It's picking your squad closely.
Yeah.
Because when you're on the level that we're on, trying to do the things that we're trying to do.
The burn is real.
You can't take anyone out.
Yeah.
Believe me. The list becomes smaller and smaller the deeper you get into this sport.
Right.
And then like Johnny said, when you meet those people that you can, it's like a lifelong bond.
I'm
not breaking that.
I want Pete's input on that particular topic, the circle and the information sharing. Because me and Dave still haven't gotten any juice on the Delaware River. We asked him like 8 years ago. But no, I get it, Pete. Like, you know, at the time, you know, it's like that dick. But no,
juice on the Delaware.
But I absolutely get it, and it's real.
Like, go try to Schuylkill.
Because
know?
The reason for that, and the reason I'm protective is that Brian tries to infiltrate everybody's circle, and nothing never comes back.
No, that's not true.
It's like you gotta get your red flag up.
Pete,
when you're being punked.
You're right.
You're like, wait a minute.
Are you kidding me?
Pete's right. Look at your hat. BTC. Brian's the circle.
Biden should have traded Stockton for Pete. Biden should have gave Brian for Brittany Griner.
We gotta send Dave a prize.
Dave, you're going home with a mystery table.
And you have to use it.
Dude,
that's not true.
That's not true. I talked to you at length. I took you out. We fished a tournament on the river.
And you gave me your B spots, and I had to put us on the fish.
Well, you.
Pete would rather lose than give up his juice, man. Yeah.
But there's something to that, Pete. Oh, don't be defensive. It's real.
Dude, when
it's okay.
Fishing is real. Not every. I took you to my grade A spots. They just weren't happening.
I understand.
And you had the juice that day.
Well, yeah.
And you tried to kill us both getting there.
Well.
But
we had a good day.
We had a great day.
Nobody died.
And nobody died. We did well in the tournament. But I'm, you know, I've been open with you about that
I
stuff.
Know, Pete. But
you know.
But on the real. Mike blows some shit up. But you, Bob Soley, like, you guys get it. You know, and when Eric first came up here, like, everything was out there. And then I think that's just a learning curve as a fisherman, you know, you learn.
You
the
know,
burn is real, man.
You know what my nickname was? Thanos.
Thanos.
Thanos. Why was that your nickname?
Oh, because I burn everything to the ground. Apparently.
And now Gavarini's got
your
back.
It's my fault that dudes look at one rock in my video, and then the next day I go to a spot that I ain't seen a soul at.
Yeah.
I ain't seen a soul there for a month and a half.
And then I go there the next day after posting the video. Oh, there he is. You know, that's my fault.
You see, Milken dealing with it right now.
Hey, listen, fiends are always going to fiend.
Yeah.
That's just at the end. You got to just stay two steps ahead.
You got to bait your own hook, man. That isn't really any.
You could also just fish without a camera pointing at you the whole time.
That's true. Dave, if you were in my position, you'd be trying to make it too. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, we got to. There's no, like.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me say this, though. We always had cameras. Like, if we would have had that technology when we were young, we would have utilized it. Yeah. We always had cameras. Dude, this is how old we are.
The wind-up ones?
We had the wind-up, the disposable ones.
Wow.
We had Polaroid cameras.
Yeah.
We always had cameras because I don't think that ever gets old. The need, you know, part of the sport is the want to say – the documentation. Of
listen,
it, right?
Look back on it. I'm gonna put the fiends to rest right here. Okay, this is the end all be all to this.
Oh.
If you're a fiend, if that's your mentality, try going out, looking on Google Maps, finding a spot that you don't know if there's fish in there or not. You haven't seen a YouTube video of me catching 6 pounders out of there, and you go by yourself, not knowing. And you actually catch a 6-pounder, you will not be able to replace that feeling.
It's so much more rewarding.
Believe me.
It's like figuring something out on the Delaware River.
Go try it one time, and then get back to me and tell me if you still want a fiend. Okay, that's it. I'm done with that. That's my whole piece.
That's good.
I want to make an interesting comment about the tournament guys. And Swindle made this comment, and it's a pretty bold comment. He goes, you want to fear or watch out for the guy that's going fishing without the GoPros running, right? That guy that's just fishing to develop his skill set. That's the tournament guy to be watchful for.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, Eric, that's Anthony Guy said, sounds like he burns shit to the ground because he smashes a blunt and forgets he's reheating McDonald's.
Who said that?
Wait a minute. We got to dissect that a little bit, though. We got
to
dissect that.
We wanted to dissect. That was spot on. Oh, that was spot
on. Secret intel? What's
yeah. We need interpretation.
It's not McDonald's. It's a Taylor Ham Egg and Cheese from Hot Bagels, all right?
That's all right.
Shout them out. Clinton, Hot Bagels.
Apparently, that was so good. John, apparently someone you played baseball with in Sweden, seven with a C, like C-E-V-I-N.
Sven?
Sven? Is that how, don't look at me like I'm supposed to know how to say Sven.
Someone from Sweden's Sven? Watching this right now?
From the
I don't
movie.
Know, he said he played ball with you for years. I don't
Ryan,
know.
Ryan
the cartoon movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, what'd he say?
I don't know the name. I know what you're talking about, though.
The Ice Princess.
Elsa and Anna. Yeah, Sven.
Sven. All right, back to the message board.
I don't think that's how you pronounce. I don't think it's pronounced that way. C E V I N.
One more time.
C E V I N. That's not Sven.
Kevin.
No. Let
it go. Dude, he's spelling his name with a fucking C and not a K.
It's Kevin. What did Kevin say? I need to know.
He just keeps saying. I wish I didn't even mention his name. He keeps saying hi. I'm already bored with this.
Dude, Kevin is
don't send nothing no more, Kevin.
No, come on, I wouldn't send more
this
shit.
Is hilarious.
He's got Kevin had the best splitter in Sweden.
Really?
Kevin, no offense, you couldn't throw a strike to save your life, but you had the best splitter I'd ever seen.
Hey, shout out to the mosquitoes.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Ball mosquitoes.
What are you doing in Sweden with Sven?
With Sven? Well, you know, pretty much what happened was I had those New York jobs, right, and then. Like mid-2021 or something, I lost track of time because I was living with Eric. So, like, you know, like your mind gets hazy. sometime in that period of time, I stopped working remote because they wanted me to come back to New York. And I was like, I'm not leaving Florida. So I'm staying down there. But I'm like, oh, wait, I don't have any
I'm not
money.
Washing my hair.
So, yeah, fair enough.
Soap.
Right
it's
around
all good, dude.
Our lease ends, I was like, I either got to get a job or, like, figure something out. And my buddy Ryan, who we played college ball together, he's been playing international ball for years. And we played 1 year pro together in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He calls me up and he's like, listen, man, I had like the time of my life playing in Sweden. He came to visit us in Florida right when he got back. We did the Myakka River. Kai and I did an unbelievable hiking trip with him. But I could just see it in his eyes. Like, he saw something different over there. And he was like, I want you to come. He's like, if you want to come play baseball again, you can come play in Sweden. So the timing for me was like really good. Needed kind of like that reset. So I went out to Sweden just on a whim. Came out of retirement. Tore my rotator cuff. First start.
Oh,
I was supposed to be there for 4 months. So I just managed the team. They were super cool about having me. If anyone wants to go play Soonsville Mosquitoes, like, help save the club. They deserve it. But they showed me the best time. And when I wasn't playing baseball, we had a little car, so we got out there. We did some salmon fishing. We did pike fishing. We did some brown trout fishing and just got to, like, explore the whole country. Just, it was an unbelievable experience. That's cool.
Are you a pitcher?
I was a pitcher, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a pitcher in college, and then, yeah, like I said, we played in New Mexico, and then I was a pitcher internationally for a day.
That's, hey, you get to say that.
Yeah, you could say that.
It's resume stuff.
But it was, like, one of those things, though. Like, I felt like that experience just made me, like, see the world. Like, oh, this, there are so many fish to catch. There's so many cool places to see. And, like, there's, what, 300 countries in the world, and I've seen two of them. Right. And I was, like, it got me back here wanting to, like, really work hard. And, like, I feel like the last few months, try and make this something a little bit more professional, a little bit more mature from what we were doing, and also just work harder on the side beyond Uncle Larry's, because, like, the dreams got bigger, like, not smaller from doing that. And, like, that was the biggest takeaway for me and what I want to do from a fishing perspective, and what I think we all want to do collectively is, like, bring this out into something where we can really, like, see the world, meet all new people, and just, like, this bond you're talking about, how many people can we make this with, and how many countries? Yeah. It transcends language, transcends
it
everything.
It does. It really does. It's,
hey, Pete, it's someone says loop. You look very uncomfortable. Seems like you need to crack a dad joke to break the ice.
Do you have one?
I don't have one handy.
Okay. It's my replacement, Anthony Geis. Is he left close by?
I don't think so.
Nah.
But, yeah.
All right. I've got a good one. I'm checking our Instagram here, and this one's from Hayden. And this is a great question. Hayden, thank you for this message. Basically, his question is, what is the meaning of Uncle Larry's Outdoors? What does it mean? It's a great question. And by the way, we had Bud Cipolletti in here, and we asked him the meaning of Featherwick. And he never gave us a straight answer. So we'd like a straight answer from you guys.
You're going to get one. No, this is cut and dry right now.
This is pretty simple. Okay. Like, I had an Uncle Larry, and he was one of those guys who just loved fishing so much. But I actually only fished with him once in my entire life. And when I fished with him, I was right around like 13, 14. And he's my great uncle. And he had like boxing gloves for hands because he had like really bad arthritis at that point.
Yeah.
But he used to be a fly fishing guy. And the one time I went out with him, I had just learned how to drive the boat. My grandma had this like 80s Pursuit in her backyard. And all I wanted to do was go rip this thing out, try and catch some fluke, go a few miles offshore. I was all about that. And he just couldn't do it. Like, he couldn't get on the boat. So we go out on the dock, and we're just throwing little live shiners for snapper. And at the time, I was, like, pissed. You know, I was like, I want to be out in the water. Like, we got to go. But I was seeing just, like, how much fun he was having bringing in these little snappers, reeling in like this, like, could barely move his hands. And he's just having the time of his life. And that kind of – that hit me because it brought me back to earth a little bit.
Yeah.
And then – years later, he passed away, and his wife, Phyllis, called me up, and she was like, hey, why don't you come over and just see if there's any of the stuff he wants. So I'm going through all of his old trout stuff, and he had this journal of all of these spots in Long Island that he would trout fish at from, like, the 70s. He had the flies that he was catching them on. He had these hand-drawn maps, and I was like, wow, this is how I want to figure out how to fish. Like, this is, like, I want to get deep in where I live and just explore things that I didn't know were there. Yeah. Long Island's so densely populated, and here are all these little streams he's talking about that I've never heard of. So we end up fishing some of the streams that he had written about in the
70s. The actual streams.
The actual streams. We had never heard of them before. And we get them out of his journal, and we go there. And, I mean, you can't make this up. Like, we had 200 native brookie days on Long Island. Like, in urban Long Island, just some of the best trout water I've ever fished to this day. And that was kind of the spirit behind the name, was like, I want to fish like Uncle Larry. I want to always have that enjoyment for the sport. Yeah. That no matter where I'm at physically, that mentally I'm always going to be there. Spiritually, I'm always going to want to be out there doing this and just doing it with people like this and sharing those experiences. So I feel like that name's kind of taken on a bit of a personal meaning for anyone who kind of knows the story, because we all sort of have that Uncle Larry who maybe introduced us to the sport or maybe lit that fire us, you know?
We do.
So that's what it's about. In honor of Uncle Larry, but also like whoever your Uncle Larry is, you know?
So freaking cool. Yeah, if Uncle Larry's looking down at this very moment and he just heard that Think he's proud of you for doing
this? I think he's proud. You know, my mom's a little bit upset with some of the trespassing and the rule breaking, and she's always told me, like, Uncle Larry wouldn't like that. No, I'm like, I still think he kind of would.
He would like that.
Yeah Uncle Larry could.
It's cool. It's cool that, you know, the spirit of the name is something that you guys are actually daily, they're doing it every day. Yeah. So cool that it, you know, it translates to what you guys do, your life, you know?
Right.
Like every time I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, what are these guys up to now? Oh my God! Get me there! So you know, cool. That's so cool, man. Yeah. That's so cool.
And it's cool too when you really think about it, because how many people do you know that found fishing completely on their own?
Oh yeah.
Like, there's always some sort of sphere of influence that leads you down that path.
All have
whether it's an actual individual or in the modern day a YouTube channel, whatever
it
may be.
You guys, I want to give you guys credit, because that's I'm seeing this all the time, that you guys that don't have an Uncle Larry or don't have a grandpop are seeing your channel. Mm.
Yeah,
and they're getting influenced. Then they're like, "This looks so cool.
Right.
I want to try this."
And that's another
Uncle Larry's.
That's another aspect of it, right? Because even when we grew up, and I know that you guys can relate to this because we've talked about it before. Yeah. But you know, when we grew up at Summit High School, man, like I said, he was one of two people in a class of 1,200 that I knew that fished. We kept fishing
that's
on
North
the
Jersey.
Low. It was not. Believe me. We were not the cool kids in high school for fishing, especially me.
Well,
and
then
it's
why does all the freaking money from fishing licenses go to North Jersey? If nobody fishes
I don't want to have this debate. Your lakes are 2 feet deep. Ours are 200. What do you want to talk about?
No, they do have good lakes. But
it's like, what are we even talking about?
We need
here?
The resources.
You got a 1 to 3 foot ledge. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
And it's money.
But anyway, you know, that is the thing with Uncle Larry's that a lot of, you know, especially younger kids will tell us that I really do appreciate, is that there's this whole other side of the youth that is getting into fishing nowadays, and they're looking at it actually as something that's quote-unquote cool, you know?
Yeah.
They're looking at this like, oh, it doesn't have to be sitting back in a lawn chair with beer, you know, playing some country music.
Yeah.
And
that's
it,
true.
It doesn't have to be
it's
that.
It's definitely. Pete, in our lifetime, we've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen
change
to something that was – especially for guys in the Northeast, that was this weird fringe southern redneck thing to this thing that's cool, that people are doing it
a lot. Well, think about you. I'm sitting next to, like, one of the main catalysts of that.
It's cool. It's cool to see it.
Brooklyn, Soul, he runs Soul of Forney, he's friends with Bud, but he described it really well on his site. He kind of compared what's going on with fishing to, like, skateboarding in the 90s almost, like that kind of, like, underground culture of, like, going places you're not necessarily supposed to, finding things that you didn't know were there, and just taking, like, figuring out what's really going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a really cool analogy.
It's
now it's almost
analogy.
Becoming mainstream again.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's now cool.
Well, that is cool. And what is uncool is, what do you call a cat running through the desert?
A lion?
Sandy Claus. Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah! It's the Christmas show,
there's
ladies and gentlemen.
Joke.
Watch like live. Never understand.
Wow.
Lucid.
I didn't pick up
with
on
the dad
direction.
Joke.
A little slow on the draw, but we got it done.
Where did you find that? Where did you find that? Was that in your pocket?
It just popped in.
A little
there.
Piece
just,
in your
it,
mind?
It popped in there somewhere.
Wow. I have a funny side story real quick about the way Uncle Larry's is perceived these days that I do appreciate. And, I talk to a lot of people that are outside of the fishing world completely.
Yeah.
So they have no idea what I'm talking about when I say I'm going on a fishing podcast with Mike Iaconelli. But I was in my Uber this morning at 4 in the morning, and, you know, I opened the trunk, and there's a Eagles football sitting right there. So I'm like, oh, this is my kind of guy right here. So I get into the car, and we're talking. And all of a sudden, you know, it comes up, like, where are you going, and what are you doing up there? And I try to explain it to him. And, you know, I'm starting to explain the fishing thing to him, and I can tell this guy is a total vibe of, oh, yeah, it's fishing, bro. You mean, like, you know, sitting down in the lawn chair with a couple brews and a couple sunfish? And, you know, then I'm telling him, like, no, we're actually with the dude we're going on the podcast with, we're going up into the mountains, like the Catskill Mountains. He goes, oh, are you in a boat, bro? And I'm like, no, dude, we're hiking. And he goes, oh, that's like some real dog shit, huh? Like, you're fucking dumb. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. And that's the thing that people that don't fish never even understand, that you could kind of take it to that level, you know? And that's I'm glad that Uncle Larry's is starting to bridge that gap a little bit to show people that it's not just their preconceived notion of what fishing can be.
Yeah. It's cool. It's amazing. Very fun. Cool. It's cool. It's amazing. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. Brian DeCarbon, I want to take a little bit of break. let's take a 5-minute break. I want to take a pee break. Thank you for watching. Stay tuned because we got two more segments. We've got the guys from Uncle Larry's Outdoors. We've got E, Johnny, and Kai with us tonight. Powerbit Paul also in the house. Hang in there because when we come back, we're going to talk more. And I want to know why Florida, how's Tampa. We want to know about all that stuff. Seeing some magic go on down there. Want to hear a little bit about that. So hang in there with us. When we come back, more Ike Live. I got to piss.
You know, right now where we're standing, we're in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is right there. This is the concrete jungle. And, you know, a lot of those kids, as they grow up, they don't fish. It's interesting because they're surrounded by water. You know, the Delaware River, the Schuylkill, ponds, city park lakes. But they don't have the influence to cast, to fish, to have a rod and reel. And that really, that became our focus, you know, is to target kids in what we call non-traditional areas, you know, urban areas, city centers, where the population's high, and let these kids have the experience. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the experiences we've had, whether it's Central Park in New York City, here in Camden, other parts of the country, even just casting.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, you see these kids have this experience they've never had, and they light up, you know? The big thing, I think, for the Ike Foundation is we're not saying we want all these kids to become professional anglers.
No. It'd
be great if some of them did, but we want them to have that fishing experience because it ties them to so many other positive things. The outdoors, nature, conservation, ecology, you know, all these amazing things in life that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to any other way, we're trying to help with that. So it's important. It's important for us. Yeah. We're proud of it.
Four and a half inch drop shot worm, Bama Bug. Finesse jig, PB&J, give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. I didn't always know this much about fishing. Four-aught EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras, like free fishing magazines. October 2016. Featured article, 4 places to throw a frog. Exclusive decals. Zombie bass. And how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy.
At Founders Brewing, we asked ourselves, what if we brewed a beer perfect for any occasion? A beer that makes a weekday feel more like the weekend. And the weekend feel more like an adventure. What if we brewed a beer that brought us together and allowed us to be ourselves? A beer that is just as much of a companion as it is a reward at the end of the journey. What if we explored the unknown together and found a new way? What if we celebrated taste and flavor and life's simple pleasures? And what if we brewed a beer that could go where you go without slowing you down? What if? Founders All Day IPA. Low ABV and full flavor that goes where you go. Chase your what if.
All right, Brian. Torquedo today. We've got the Ike Live Tiny Boat out. I want to tell you, this is not just for electric-only reservoirs.
It's for other things as well. Today is a great example. Where are we? What are we going to take this thing through today?
The Upper Susquehanna.
Upper Susquehanna River.
That's right.
Current, rock, nasty bottom, yep. And we're going to use Torquedo.
Everybody else running jet drives. We've got the rock guard on the Torquedo. We're going to some small spots.
Yep.
Get in there. We're going to make it happen.
There you go.
Let's go.
Shallow water, speed, strength, power. Come on. Let's
Consistency.
Go.